loving God and loving people and reaching the lost, you need to be a changed person to be able to love God, to be able to love people. And remember that this church is a family church. Everyone say family church. Because all of us here are members of the same family. Because we all have two families. We have our birth family or biological family, and then we have our spiritual family. Now, in order for us to function as members of a biological family, you need to be born into that family. Amen? Amen. And in order to function as a member of a spiritual family, guess what? You need to be born into that family. Amen. Because birth is the entrance to every relationship, especially family relationship. So that's why when we consider be changed and be the change, we're looking at what makes it possible for you and I to be members of this spiritual family so that I can love you as I should and you can love me as you should. By the way, the Bible says that when you are born again, the love of God is already shed abroad in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I didn't mention that, but let me say it again. Young people, you're staying. Children, you're staying in church today. Amen?
Amen.
I need everybody up here. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says when you are born again, the love of God is already shed abroad in your heart.
Amen.
Thank you for those amens. Which means that, first of all, we don't need to pray and fast for love. Tell your neighbor, it's already there. Because it's part of the package that God gives us when we get saved. But part of what happened is we need to get ourselves, our old life, out of the way so that our new life, including the loving ability, can manifest.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Amen.
So there's really no such thing as a church that has no love. If it's a true church where Jesus is the head and Jesus is the Lord, and the members of the church are members of the body of Christ, they are men and women that have love.
Amen.
Tell them where you have love.
Yeah.
Come on, come on, look at somebody with a smile. Say, you have love.
Yeah.
You got it. It's there. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So, but as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, that love manifests more and more. It shows, it oozes out. Amen.
Amen.
So, we need to open ourselves up both to give love and to receive.
Amen.
In the process of this discussion, I'll touch on some of those things that hinders it. But some of us have this tendency of being closed up, or we have this tendency of defining love in a certain way. Now, if it doesn't come in the way that you want it, then that person is not loving. If it doesn't come by your own definition, then that is not loving. I don't know how many people in the world today, for example, understand that God loves them.
Amen.
Do you understand what I mean?
Amen.
For some people, a definition of love for God, or of God, excuse me, would be that he gives them all the food they need. Or he gives them all the money they need. Do you understand what I'm saying? In that sense, they would say God loves them. But God knows that we need more than food and money.
Yes.
We need an eternal relationship.
Yes.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to go to the cross to pay the price to demonstrate his love for us.
Amen.
So if somebody is sitting down there defining how God should love them based on their personal definition or their personal experience, guess what? They miss the bigger picture. So sometimes people go around and talk about love or no love in the church. It's because they miss the bigger picture.
Amen.
Tell anybody you have the bigger picture.
Amen.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You have the bigger picture. Amen?
Amen.
So today, as we launch into this, I want you to see, both from the privilege that you and I already have, that we have understood the love of God. We have received the love of God. So we are changed people. Or if you are not already changed, today I pray in the name of Jesus, that you will be changed. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And then you now can go and be their change. Because you have experienced the love of God, you can carry that and share it with the dying world.
Amen,
amen somebody.
Amen.
So as God has brought us this far, with the experiences we've had during the different events that we've had through the consecration, and then of course our anniversary, and then the rising and the power of the cross, all of those powerful experiences that the Holy Spirit have given to us, all of it now comes with a challenge. Say a challenge.
Challenge.
A challenge is not something to hinder you, but something to spoil you up to the next level. Because God expects us, now that we've received again and again and again, it's time for us to now be a channel.
Amen,
amen somebody. Amen. So that as you continue to receive, and then you pour out into somebody else's life, guess what? There's room in your life for God to pour more into. So that's why God designs us as fresh rivers, not as lakes. Or what's the other one? Ponds. You know, a pond is the one that is surrounded by land all around. Rain can come into it, but there's no place for it to go out. After a while, the water becomes salty, stale, and stagnant. So we're not supposed to be ponds where we only receive and don't give up. Amen, somebody. So let's look at the power of the cross in change, or for change rather. Because the power in the cross, the power of the cross, the power through the cross enables you and I to experience the fullness of what God expects us to experience, so that we now can be the agents that He wants us to be. Number one, now we must love God, we must have love for God. Must be primary. Everybody read that with me. Want to go. He said what? Love for God with all my heart must be primary. So if I'm thinking of change, if I'm yearning for change, if I'm praying for change, if I'm delivering, want me to deliver, excuse me, from my old life into a new life, guess where I need to start? It's in loving God. Having a love for God, that must be primary. Matthew chapter number 10, here's what it says in verse number 37 through 39. It says this: He that loveth the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I'm sure many of you have read that before. Okay, it's quiet now. I said some of you have read that before.
Yes.
Good, thanks. So Jesus is saying, if your love for me is not number one, change cannot happen. Where change happens is in a place where everything else comes secondary. Excuse me. And God comes number one.
Amen.
I pray today in the name of Jesus that God will become number one in your life.
Yeah.
That the love for God will become number one in your life.
Yeah.
Now understand this. There's a difference between the love for God and the love of God. You know the difference, right?
Yeah.
The love of God is the love that God has for you. The love for God is the love that you have for Him. You get the difference?
Yeah.
Good. So we're talking about the love for God. Because the love of God is not questioned. I already started with that. Remember the cross?
Okay, you're still here.
Remember the cross?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say yes even if you don't remember.
Yeah.
Good. So the love of God for us is not questioned. So, but what is in question is our love for Him. I'm praying today in the name of Jesus that you and I will be men and women that have our hearts open completely to truly love God as we should. Because that's when change begins. Number two, living and taking up my cross must be a part. Everybody say living and taking up my cross must be what? So when I love God, when I have the love for God, one of the things that should characterize that I love him is that I'm making a daily habit of doing what? Of taking up my cross. Just what does that mean? Let's look at the scripture that is under that. Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 38 to 39. It says this. And he, okay, let's read that together. And whosoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy. Read it again. Okay, good. I got a little fancy. I was not happy. This is interruption, okay? I wasn't happy last week when Prophet Patrick was taking a piece of stick over here and pointing over on the screen like we're in 1920. So I went and bought a point. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So nobody will come here again and start looking for a stick, you know, to point at something. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Okay, now good. Now let's look at it. Can you see that? Yeah, pastor's getting a little fancy, you know. Okay. Now the scripture says, whosoever does not take up their cross, just what does that mean? Does it mean every one of us need to carry a piece of stick and put on our shoulder? Does it mean every one of us need to go and line up so that the Roman soldiers can hang us on the cross?
No.
No. So if that's not what it means, what then does it mean to take up the cross and follow? And Jesus says, if I don't take up my cross and follow, he said, I am not worthy. Those are very powerful statements. Time will fail us to unpack it. But understand this, however, that the cross is a place of change. There was a place of change. He said the biggest thing that happened in the cross or on the cross or at the cross is change. Everyone say change. Now that was the place where the final victory was attained. That was the place when it was certain that Jesus is the Lord. Without the cross, you and I cannot be saved. And you know what it took Jesus to get to the cross? All the pain, the sacrifice, the self-denial, and all of that that got him there.
Amen.
So Jesus, the Bible says in some of the places in the Bible, that when he looked towards the cross, he saw beyond the cross. He saw all the victory that will come after the cross. Therefore, he endured the pain. He endured the suffering. He endured the shame. So taking up my cross, therefore, is not looking at the challenge, but it's looking beyond the challenge. Tell anyone you can look beyond the challenge. You can look at your victory in spite of your circumstances. You can look at your healing in spite of your pain. You can look at the prayer you're going to get when you and I get to heaven in spite of the shame. You can look at the blessings that will come in spite of your inconveniences. Somebody still here? So then, taking on my cross, therefore, is looking beyond the challenge and looking at the blessing. Tell your neighbor, look beyond the challenge and look at the blessing. So anybody who's not willing to do that, because the devil is an expert in making us look at, oh, you don't have the time, you don't have the money, you don't have the training, you don't have this, you don't have that, and because of that, don't serve. Devil does that to everybody, including this one. And no one of us will have reason not to even show up in church today. Because the weather was nice yesterday, for example. And today the weather is going to be bad. Are you going to church? You think it's just time for you to just enjoy a little rest? You know what I mean? Because you're walking in the whole week next week. Somebody say, lying devil. Come on, talk to me. Say, lying devil. So he brings all kinds of things like that. So look beyond the challenges and then look at the victory that is going to come later. Amen, somebody. So take up your cross. Give me the next verse. Give me the next verse. I don't have something else in verse number 39. Now let's look at that together. It says what?
Whosoever
Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake
will find it.
Now, if you read that, especially here, that word, you will think he's asking us to be reckless. Is that what he's saying? Say, if you see a car coming on the street, don't stop for the car to cross, just go ahead. Is that what he's saying? No. Because those are some of the things that some people misinterpret in scripture, and they have all kinds of issues. No, Jesus is not saying be reckless. Jesus is not saying don't drive and follow, what's it called, speed limits. Jesus don't say all of that, no. But it's saying that you must value your life.
Amen.
In comparison to what you value in his life, it will be like you don't value your life. Does it make sense? That you put him so highly above your pleasure so that it will look as if you don't care about yourself.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. So when you make him a primary priority, then you are on your way to the place of victory.
Amen.
Now, but what gets you there? What gets I there? Or what gets me there? It is trusting God with complete heart. Knowing that God will not ask us to do anything that will hurt us. He loves you too much to ask you to do something that will end up hurting you. Now, if you trust him that much, then it will be as if you don't care about your life. Then you only care about him. And guess what? If you do that and do it with all your heart and do it consistently, you become God's favorite. Amen, somebody. Let's move on to number three quickly. Number three says, we're talking about the power of the cross for what? For change. Have you experienced those two things we talked about? Number three says, leading my life by the cross must be my purpose. So we're talking about the path and we're talking about purpose. The reason why you live is your purpose. Let's get to Mark chapter 8. Okay? The scripture says in Mark chapter 8, verse number 33, it says, "For when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter." Get thee behind me, Satan, he said, "You do not have in mind the concerns of merely human concerns." Give me the next verse. We're talking about the cross here now. He says what? "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." The next verse says, let's read that together. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake and for the gospel
will
save it." Does that sound familiar? Like the few verses we just read before?
Yes.
Talking about the pattern, not talking about the purpose. Now, if I mean it to glorify myself, there's going to be a problem.
Okay.
But if I'm in need to glorify him, there's going to be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. You get the difference?
Amen.
So I need to learn to put my life on the line. Again, brothers and sisters, God is calling us to a different level of relationship.
Amen.
See, many of us, not in this church, I changed that. It's in the church down the road. Okay? Not here. Okay? They are in the Bless Me Club. You know people who are in those club? Don't raise your hand. You don't know them, okay? It is God bless me. God heal me. God give me this. God give me that. God give me this. God give me that. And God, just in case you have anything for my neighbor, don't give it to him. Give it to me also. You know what I mean? Yeah, because it's me and me and me. God bless me. Amen. Is there anything wrong with that? Maybe yes. Many of us miss something that is critical in the Bible. That every promise in the Bible has a condition.
Amen.
Every promise always have what? a condition. The condition is always in the first part. If we still follow this one, for example, we'll just take it from there. He's talking about what? So for whosoever wants to save his life. Okay? That's the first part. What does that mean? How many of us want to be protected from danger? I do. You know what I mean? Things have happened to everybody else. And I want to be protected. Anybody wants that?
Amen.
That's what I want. Now, for anybody who wants that, then he says what? That person, for whosoever wants to save their life, will lose it. And then he now says, but whosoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Now, so what is the condition for me to be protected all the time? Is the willingness to take risk for God. Did you get it? So I can pray and ask God, bless me, protect me, shield me. All of that is good. But what are you willing to do as a condition for that? God wants everybody to be saved. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now, but what do you need to do to be saved? You have to believe. Is that right?
Yes.
So you see, there's a condition and a promise. If you don't believe, you cannot be saved. If you don't repent, you cannot be saved.
Amen.
So there are promises, and every promise has a condition with it. So what God is calling us to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to make this our heartbeat. And I'm praying today that each one of us will have a heartbeat. A heart that is beating. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And as a changed man, a changed woman, I want somebody saved. I want somebody saved.
Amen.
I know I'm going to heaven. I don't want my neighbor going to hell. I know I'm going to heaven. I don't want my children going to hell. And I'm going to heaven. I don't want my co-workers going to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
That was the heartbeat of Jesus doing the will of the Father. Number four. Let's get to the next one quickly. Number four says, letting go of all human contribution must be the pillar. Everybody say pillar. Everybody say pillar.
Yeah.
Okay, you're still here. Okay, give me the next scripture, please. We're looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. I'm looking at verse number 20. Okay, are you there? And he answered and said, all this I have kept since I was a boy. Give me the next verse. Then Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. We're talking about the word pillar. The story you know very well, so we don't need to take time to explain it. A young man came, and his question was, what must I do to be saved? Or what must I do to have eternal life? Depending on what translation you read. And the Bible says he was a young man, number one. And number two, he was very rich. He had a lot of money. Maybe he was a big businessman. I don't know what he did, but he had money. Tell your neighbor, it's not bad to have money.
It's not bad.
Oh, come on, come on. Talk to somebody from me. Say, it's not bad to have money. You know why? Now, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Look up here, everybody. He says what? Jesus looked at him and
loved him.
Oh, so Jesus loved people who have money?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, sometimes some of us come from a religious background that kind of think that, you know, for you to be a real Christian, you have to be poor. There's nothing in the Bible that way. No. You have to live broken, beggarly. The Bible said Jesus loved a rich man.
Yeah.
But the problem, however, was the rich man had a misunderstanding of money, what money can do in physical world, and what money can do in spiritual world.
Amen.
I believe that day that young man had a checkbook in his pocket. So he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to get into heaven? I can imagine him thinking, you need to give a big offering. So you just say, I got that. Just pull out a check and write. How much do I need to write? Now the things that we do physically, they are good. But they are nothing without a relationship.
Amen.
But can I say that again?
Amen.
Every service that we render in the house is good. Yes. But it's nothing without a relationship.
Amen.
So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you might as well keep your money. Okay, did I just say something?
Yes,
sir. Oh, I did. Yes, I did. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, money doesn't buy that. It comes after you have a relationship. So he said, go sell everything. Give it all up. You need just one person. And that's me. That's what gets you into heaven.
Amen.
And the Bible says, when you have finished giving that up, in other words, don't let what you have own you.
Amen.
This young man here had money. But in reality, what he had on him, what he had controlled him. Some people are controlled by their job. They're controlled by their career. They're controlled by a spouse. They're controlled by a friend. They can't do anything without those things. All over the place. It's those things who take us and say, where they're passing out. Hey, anyway, that's not you. Now come on, talk to somebody from say that's not you. So when your things own you, you are a slave to your things. So God wanted to deliver him as he wants to deliver many of us. Sometimes for some of us, it's not even the things outside, it's our look. You know what I'm saying? I spend hours in front of the mirror. Now when we say that, don't think it's only ladies that do it. Men do it too. Yeah. You know, for some men, Mrs. Small, they're in the gym in the morning, in the gym in the afternoon, in the gym in the night, you know, because they want to get those people. Hello? So, let's not mix it up. Jesus said, don't mix it up until you let go of those things. Those things own you, and those things own you and control you. You're not on your way to heaven. Give me the next verse so we can move on quickly. Now, Jesus now said, everybody, let's read. At this, go ahead, finish it.
He went away sad because he had great wealth.
Do you understand that? He had so much money that his money prevented him from going to heaven. And one of the saddest scriptures is this one right here. Because the Bible says he went away
sad.
It means he came to church because there's no better church than being in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
But he refused to give up his fornication. He refused to give up his pursuing of money. He refused to give up his lies. He refused to give up his cheating. He refused to give up the things that held him, that were leading him to hell. He walked away from church, not saved.
Amen.
I pray today in the name of Jesus. That nobody under the sound of my voice who is not saved or is not living right. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will not walk away today.
Jesus.
He was sad. I think there must have even been some anger there. How dare Jesus tell me what to do with my own money? Give it away. Somebody need to tell him. Blank, 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 blank. Hear me, God's people. And hear me well. A lot of people will go to hell from church. And that's a scary talk. I was telling the people downstairs this morning. I said, listen, you guys come here every other Sunday to eat. Some Sundays we have 60 people down there eating food.
Yes.
I mean 60.
Yes.
We share the gospel with them. And they eat. Many people say, I'll come back, I'll see you. And guess the next time you see them? When there's breakfast. Sometimes I'm coming here on Tuesday to work, and guess what? I'm opening the door, they ask me, you guys have any food down there? I'm like, no, it's Tuesday. Do you understand what I mean? Now, they want to fill their belly, but their spirit is empty. I pray no one under the sound of my voice is like that. It's scary. I told them I'm scared for you. Because the day you stand before God, you won't say you didn't hear.
That's right.
You won't say I didn't know. Because we told him.
Yes.
Same thing applies, ladies and gentlemen, to us up here.
Yes.
Yeah. You won't say you didn't hear that being committed, being consistent, making God a priority in your life, that's what gets you there. Many of us are religious but don't have a relationship. We have better relationship with our cell phones than we have with God. You cannot sleep without your phone. You can't go out without your phone.
Jesus.
Everywhere you go, hey, where's my phone? Where's it? Who carried it? When was the last time you got that agitated that you didn't read your Bible? That you didn't pray? That you didn't spend time? When was the last time you got so angered in your spirit that somebody interrupted your prayer time? When? So your phone is more important than him? Let's move on to the next one because we need to finish this and get the next one. Where are we now? We're number four?
Five.
Oh, five. Okay, so I have one more to go. No, I was going to read to you Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 15 to 17. I think it's important for me to read that. Ephesians 2, verse number 15. Let's start from 15 quickly. Now, let's read it. Say what? By setting aside in his flesh the law, with his commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Give me the next verse. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put them to death in their hostility. So what is that saying? There's this fight between the spirit and the flesh. And the one place where the victory was attained was where? On the cross. So the power of the cross is what brings change. Okay, let's get to number five quickly. Number five says, leaning on the completed work of the cross is the source of our power. When we lean, when we rely on it, okay, that's the source of our power. So you're here today, it's not how much money you have or how much money you don't have. It is what are you depending on. The old songwriter talked about anchor. Remember? He said whether your anchor will hold within the veil. That's what it means. Let's get to the scripture because I think my time is running out here. Excuse me. Are we there? The first scripture I want to look at very quickly is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 17. It said, for Christ did not send me to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be empty of its power. Did you get it? We're talking about the power of the cross for change. So we need to learn to remember, to rely, to proclaim, to affirm, to ascertain the centrality of the cross in this thing that we're talking about. So all of that is not a piece of wood we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the work that he did on the cross, and that's what saves us. So Paul says, I didn't go about talking about foolishness. All I want to focus on was on the cross, because if I focus on other things, then the cross will have no power. Amen. So the cross will no longer be center. If cross is not center, then you don't have salvation. Give me the next verse. See what it says. The scripture now says, very quickly, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Did you get that? You see that word right there? You say what? The message of the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are perishing. So you go out and emphasize, so you see pastor talking about cross today, somebody like, does he have anything else to talk about? Is that all he's going to talk about all day today? Can we move on to something else? Listen, without the cross, there's no salvation. Nobody goes to heaven without it.
Amen.
Your healing and my healing doesn't happen without a cross. Your deliverance from the power of the devil does not happen without a cross. Everything is centered in it. So the scripture says, it is foolishness to those who are perishing. But look at what it says, the next one. It says what? To those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So where is the power of God, ladies and gentlemen? Say it again. Where is the power of God, ladies and gentlemen? Okay. Brothers and sisters, where is the power of God? And I say it louder. Overcomers, where is the power of God? That's where it is. That's the thing that the devil is scared of. He does not want you and I to understand how powerful the cross is. To those who want to be saved, stay delivered, want to be healed, stay healed, want to overcome, stay overcoming. Guess what? You need to understand the cross and the blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross. So when you declare and you tell the devil, I plead the blood of Jesus against you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I declare that you are a loser because Jesus died and rose for me on the cross. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. The devil goes, oh, he knows the secret. He has the power. Come on, somebody say the blood of Jesus. Come on, somebody say the blood of Jesus. Every demonic force over your life. Come on, pray the blood of Jesus. Come on, say the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says for those of us who are saved, guess what? The cross is the power. That's where it comes from. So the devil don't want you to know that. Yes, we pastors spent all Sunday talking about it. If you know where the power is, where will you go? I go for the source of the power. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Now, we're at the last point very quickly. But there's a scripture that follows that. I mean, number six. Let's do that quickly so we can move on. Number six says what? Looking toward a glorious end must be our... Okay. I'm waiting for you to read it. Let's read it again. You see, when you experience power, you're looking forward to the place where God wants you to be. Amen, somebody. Amen. Let's look at Colossians chapter number 1 very quickly. We're not reading all of it. We're just going to verse number 19. Colossians 1 verse 19. It says what? For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That is, fullness means completeness. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now, give me the next verse quickly. He now says this, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Somebody say all things.
All things.
Somebody say all things.
All things.
Now, and this is why I love the Holy Spirit. Just in case you don't understand what all things means, Holy Spirit says, let me break it down for you.
Yes, yes.
Now look at the breaking down. He says what? Whether things on earth. Now how many things are on earth? So everything on earth, he now says again what? All things in heaven.
Glory to God.
By making peace through his blood shed. You see how central the cross is? Which means things that are happening physically, the blood can take care of it. Things that are happening spiritually, the blood can take care of it. Tell anybody the blood can take care of it. Come on, talk to somebody for me. The blood can take care of it. Everything that comes down in your sexual line, every physical thing, somebody said the blood of Jesus can take care of it. Because the Bible says it's on the cross. All of it comes together. Oh, the doctor don't know what it is.
Come on now.
The blood can take care of it. I don't know what's happening. The blood can take care of it. It's been there for a long time. The blood can take care of it. The blood of Jesus can take care of it. Tell your neighbor the blood can take care of it. Come on, come on, come on. Say the blood can take care of it. The blood of Jesus can take care of it. And that's what the devil don't want you to know. He holds you captive and you are thinking, but you are acting in a different way. And you go, but I don't want to do that. Why do I keep doing it? Somebody said the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. deeper understanding of the power of the cross. We're going to pray. I'm done for this first part. I tell you, I'm going to do something that's very quickly. Not going to take time, but I just want to share this other part with you. But before I get there, I want us to pray. If you don't mind, please stand. Say the blood of Jesus. Come on, say the blood of Jesus. Come on, say the blood of Jesus. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what came with you today. But on the authority that is in the name of Jesus, you can break it. Come on, open your mouth and begin to declare. I break the bondages of sin. I break the bondages of Satan. I break them in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus against sin, against flesh, against all the powers of darkness. Break against
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.